Before we even open up the word, I just want to thank all of you who were at the Christmas tree lighting last night. It was a wonderful time and opportunity to praise the Lord and not only to feed with goodies and food, but to really demonstrate the love of Christ as expressed through songs. I thank the a cappella girls for just a really beautiful, beautiful rendition of Still, Still, Still. I think that's the name of it, right? And the men's quartet, who is beginning again with O Holy Night. As the Christmas tree was lit, it's not one of my favorite songs, O Christmas Tree, O Christmas Tree. But I found myself thinking about the words. It says, your leaves are so unchanging. And I thought, wow, how many millions, if not billions, of Christmas trees, evergreen trees, exist throughout the world? And they were all created by God, who is truly the only unchanging one. If you remember, there was a tree, a much bigger tree there that died. Its leaves did change, and they had to cut it down. But our Lord never changes. He is the unchanging one. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today's message is one of... how many of you really want to be worshipers of the Lord? My prayer for us as we are in this Christmas season is that we would maybe discover some really important and key things about worship. What truly is worship? It's not just about singing songs. It's about a life of being worshipful to the Lord. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Let's pray. Father God, I know in my heart that you want to teach me something about worship, perhaps that I don't yet truly understand. And so I pray that as we read this declaration of praise that Mary, this young virgin woman who you chose to bring your son into the world, as we read her praise, declaration, her song, her prayer, Lord, that you would teach us from it. Lord, that we would truly be able to go deeper with you in worship, not only in song, but in our lives, Lord. And Father, that really comes from knowing you. Lord, knowing you in a deeper way, living with you in a deeper way, day by day, moment by moment, in all the circumstances of our life. So, Lord, I pray now that by your Spirit you would minister your word to us, that you would teach us, encourage us, excite us, Lord, about the possibility of going deeper with you. Lord, you love us with an everlasting love. And yet, Lord, we confess that sometimes we are so fickle. We don't love you in the way that you desire to be loved. I pray now that you would show us your heart in this matter, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, beginning at the 46th verse. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. As a people who have been redeemed for eternity, is there anything that is more important to us than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I think I said that to you last week or a couple of weeks ago, to ask yourself that question. Is there anything more important to me, any person that is more important to me than the Lord Jesus Christ? What we're about to, or what we have read in our text, is really what I would consider a true blueprint for worship. A coming to, if you will, the heart of worship. What is worship all about? How do we get to that place of worship in spirit and in truth, which the Father desires that we would come to? That was Jesus' very words to the Samaritan woman at the well that we looked at recently. And we know that that's what Father God is seeking. He is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I ask you this morning, is that your desire? Is that my desire, to please God and to really, truly give him what he is seeking from us? The first thing that we need to understand really is what is involved in worship. And by the way, all of the scriptures I'm using in your bulletin, I didn't give you an outline. This is a very simple message. We're going to come to one or two conclusions here that I hope will be life-changing for each one of us. Mary answers the question of what is involved in worship in the first few words, verses 46 and 47. Look what she says. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. My soul. The soul here in the original Greek really means affections. That's the place of your affections. It's distinguished from the mind, and it comes from deep within us. When you speak of your soul, we use the word soul very loosely in our culture. Well, he's a soulful person. He sings the blues. I don't understand. If you're soulful, you sing the blues. But if you are soulful in Christ, you're not singing the blues. Amen? So it's that deep place of affection in you. The spirit is the rational spirit, the mind element of life. So what Mary is saying, she's saying my soul, that part deep within me, that part that is, it's immaterial as distinguished from the body, the physical body. The spirit is also immaterial. It's not like the body. It's something that we know about. We don't see it. As I look out at you, I don't see your souls and I don't see your spirits. But guess who does see them? And so that's the affections that are coming up deep within her. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. That's her mind there that knows all of these wonderful things that God has done for her, especially in the last 24 hours here when Gabriel has appeared to her. And so he has done great things for her. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. We're going to go on there in a minute. But my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. How many of you today in your minds can rejoice in the fact that God is your Savior? That's a matter of recounting not only the day of your salvation, but how about all the days of your life up till now? That he's been with you, that he's protected you, that he's guided you, that he's given you everything that you need for life and godliness. That's all something of understanding in your mind and rejoicing over that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 reveals that there are three things that are separate from one another in this benediction that Paul gives. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." When Jesus was speaking to a Pharisee who came to him, and the Pharisee asked him, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus said these words to the Pharisee. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. See, this is a wholeness involved here. This is the undivided heart. This is the mind that is brought captive to the obedience of Jesus. Now, I know that we all struggle in this area, don't we? How many times do we do things where we haven't brought that thought captive to the obedience of Jesus? There's a very important element in our mind there. So Mary's soul, that those affections from deep within magnify the Lord. By the way, that is the most pure and truest form of worship, when your soul, that deep part within you, magnifies the Lord. And you see that the words that we sing here, there are some of you who sing really well. There are some of you who sing so-so. And there are some of you who don't sing well at all. Can I say to you that it has nothing to do with worship? Because it's that soul, it's that deep thing within you. The Lord is not listening to how well you sing. He's listening, is that coming from deep within you? Are those the affections for Him that are springing up out of you? Before we go any further, I want us to really understand something here. This Mary, it is figured that she was probably 16 or 17 years old. It is amazing to me, and we're going to see why in a few minutes, but it's amazing to me that she could declare these great things about the Lord. And we're going to find out why that is. Every one of us, me standing here and you sitting there, can do the same thing. All right? So hold on to that thought. You see, here's the thing about Mary. She's received this incredible message from Gabriel, that the Lord sent this message through Gabriel to her. Now, she is betrothed, the word tells us, she's engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. Now she's going to be with child. She's not married. She's in a pickle, if you will. Think about it. This is not all glorious and wonderful, and yet we don't hear any complaints in her declaration of praise here, do we? We don't hear any fear that's coming through this praise to the Lord. If you turn back a page in your Bible for a moment, I want us to look at what the angel said to Mary and how he appeared to her. Just one page back, if your Bible is like mine, or it might be on the opposite page. Verse 26. All right, let's look at that verse. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. As far as we know, this may be the most important mission that Gabriel has ever come from the Lord with. And we know in the Old Testament that he helped in Daniel. He was helping Michael in the heavenlies doing spiritual warfare. But I believe, as I look at Scripture, these are some of the most important words that Gabriel has ever delivered to anyone. In fact, 1 Peter 1, Peter's talking about salvation. And he gives this wonderful exposition of what salvation is all about. And he comes to verse 12, and he says this: "The things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." Angels don't have a need of salvation, do they? They don't. So he's delivering a message, and he's delivering it. Every word is what God has sent to him, but he doesn't even know quite what this means. And so the greatest angel, one of the greatest angels, Gabriel, gives her this message from God, and he greets her in this way. Look with me to verse 27. "To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." Verse 28. "And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. That's his greeting. It is most likely that this is the first encounter that Mary has ever had with an angel. At least it's the only one that we know of. 16 or 17 years old. And the angel Gabriel stands before her with this message. And even though the words seem to be good news, look what it says in verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. If you go back a little further in chapter 1, Zacharias was in the temple. And Gabriel appeared to him and told him that he was going to have, he and his wife, who was barren, he was an old man, that they were going to have a child. And in verse 12, when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now, Zacharias was a priest. He had been a priest for many years in the temple. He was the one who burnt the incense continually. That was what his duty was at this time. But he was a man who was in the temple. And yet even he was fearful when this angel appeared to him. We don't know if an angel had appeared to him before. But the message that Gabriel gave to both Zacharias and to Mary was the same. It was very simple. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And I remember how many times Jesus had to say that to the disciples. Do not be afraid. Malachi gives a prophecy that Zacharias should have known. Malachi 4 and verse 5, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Look there in verse 17. He will also be, he's speaking of this son that he's going to have, he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. This was a fulfillment of a prophecy that was some 500 or 400 years earlier that was given by Malachi. In regards to Mary, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, spoke these words in Isaiah 7:14, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Zacharias, as one who was truly righteous, he and Elizabeth were considered fully righteous before God. He might have known or should have known the prophecy of Malachi. We don't know what Mary knew. If she had heard Isaiah's prophecy, but the important thing here is not what she's heard, but how she responds to this message from Gabriel. Let's look at her response, beginning in verse 34. Well, let's read the whole thing here, starting at verse 30. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? The angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The key to Mary and the depth of her worship is found in verse 38. Let's read that again. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be for me according to your word." There was a woman during a future time when Jesus was speaking to the crowd that cried out these words. She raised her voice and she said to him, "Blessed the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus gave a very interesting response to her. He says, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." In other words, blessed are those who hear the word of God and they obey it. And see, that's exactly what Mary did here. Look, she heard the word. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And brothers and sisters, that is really one of the keys to true worship. It's hearing the word and obeying the word. Well, not only was she obedient, but she was humbled. Look at verse 48 in her declaration. "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maid servant." The Greek text reads this way: "For he looked upon the humiliation of his bond servant." And it really means one of lowly estate or humble origin. In other words, this was not somebody who was of royalty. She wasn't from a wealthy family, a prominent family. On another hand, though, she was a descendant of David. Isn't that interesting? 14 generations later, she was from the line of King David. And really the point here being that the prophecy would be fulfilled, and Gabriel makes that clear in verse 32. Look back there. "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." So she was in the genealogy. But that was not Mary's thought. She didn't take this as, "Oh, I'm a descendant of David, therefore I'm a princess. I'm an heir to the throne." Which, by the way, there are many who have made her the heir to the throne. There was no thought in Mary of exaltation. You see, it's only man's doing that has proclaimed that to make her more than she was and is. She is blessed, and we can be very thankful for Mary, can't we? Why? Because she was obedient. She heard the word, and she was obedient. The conclusion of Mary's statement about herself made there in verse 48, "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." What did Jesus say to the woman in the crowd? "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And this is why even today, generations later, we can indeed call her blessed. Not because she is exalted, because she is in that place of man that has placed her, even to the point of praying to her, the point of worshiping her. Mary would have none of that. She heard God's word from Gabriel, she obeyed it, and she did it in humble fashion. And so with this soul and with this spirit and this affection and this mind, she now enters into worship. And she begins to declare mighty things about God. I don't know if all these cross references are in your Bibles, but there are times when I'm reading my Bible. Does everybody normally look up the cross references in your Bible? It's important to do that. But there are times when you look them up and you go, "Oh, okay." Every one of the cross references in my Bible, I was just bowled over by them, and so they're in your bulletin. If you don't have the same cross references, that's what I'm simply going to do here as we look through this worship of Mary's, and then some concluding words about her. Verse 49: "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." She extols this attribute of God here, that he is mighty. Again, in the Greek, it says, "For the mighty one did great things to me, and holy is his name." For the mighty one. The mighty one here is spoken of God the Almighty. And all through Mary's worship, this is true. The mightiness and the power of God is just, she has entered into this. She is seeing him as he is, as the Almighty God. Psalm 71:19 is the first cross reference that I have. It says this, and I'll preface it with verse 18. O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Verse 19, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? For he who is mighty has done great things for me. The second part of that proclamation, and holy is his name. Psalm 111 verse 9. He has sent redemption to his people. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Verse 50. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. The cross reference, Psalm 103:17, the first part of the verse. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. What did Mary say? And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you're not, I'll back up. Are you see what we're doing here? Mary is, this is a 16 or 17 year old girl who is declaring the word of God. Verse 51a, he has shown strength with his arm. Psalm 98, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Do we understand that what has been conceived in Mary, who she's carrying at the time that she's declaring these things about God, he is the one who's going to be victorious over sin and death. He's the one who's going to bring triumph and victory in your life and mine over sin as we continue to walk with him here on this planet. Psalm 118:15 says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tent of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And verse 16 echoes verse 15. It says, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I love that word, valiant. We don't use that word anymore, do we? When's the last time you said about someone, oh, that's a valiant person? We might say he's a courageous person, he's a bold person, but valiant? I have the feeling when I read it here, this is maybe reserved for the Lord alone. He is the valiant one. Mary continues in verse 51. He has shown strength with his arm. Excuse me, verse 51? 51a, the second part of 51. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. How often have we seen this truth demonstrated in Scripture and in history? How the Lord, think of the Tower of Babel. Very early on in the Scriptures, when they were building the Tower of Babel, a man thought, we're going to build something and it's going to go all the way up to heaven. And what happened then? They were scattered, right? He scattered the proud in their imaginations. Not only did he scatter them, but there was a difficulty in communicating after that, and they had to separate. They were scattered to many places on the planet. Mary was able to declare this. Listen to me. Mary was able to declare this. What she says here, He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. She's not just speaking about history. She's speaking about a situation in which she is living at this very moment, because the entire country of Israel is under the domination of a cruel Roman Empire. And yet she can say he is scattered, and he will, and he did, hasn't he? And he continues down through history. He continues scattering the proud in their imagination. You see, it's not about focusing on the circumstances. And I want to warn us, we can do that. We can spend way too much focusing on the circumstances of proud imaginations of men and forget that our Lord is the one who will deal with that, and he will scatter them. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. He is sovereign over all things, and he will bring us through. Verse 52, he has put down the mighty from their thrones. My Bible has a cross reference to another woman in the Old Testament. Anybody know who that was? Hannah? Hannah is in the temple and she's worshiping the Lord. She's brought Samuel back, this miraculous child that God has given to her. She who was barren in the Old Testament had a son. His name was Samuel, and she brought Samuel to the temple, and she was dedicating Samuel to the Lord. And in 1 Samuel 2 and 7, verses 7 and 8, she makes this declaration: "The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory." He has put down, Mary said, the mighty from their thrones. And the second part there, and exalted the lowly. Very same thing that Hannah so many years ago declared about the Lord. Verse 53. He has filled the hungry with good things. This is not about food, by the way. Physical food. It's about spiritual food. Psalm 111 and verse 5, he said, "He has given food to those who fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant." He has given food to those who fear him. The Lord gives food to everybody in the world, doesn't he? Physical food. Speaking about spiritual food, if you fear the Lord, he will give you. If you reverence the Lord, if you're in awe of the Lord, he will give you the spiritual food that you need, food for the soul. Jesus made this very clear in the Sermon on the Mount. We went back to the Old Testament. Let's go forward about 30 years to the time when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Blessed are those," Matthew 5, 6, "blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be," what? "Filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. Mary ends this worship declaration with an understanding that all of Israel is going to be blessed by the coming of the Messiah and the child that she's carrying in her womb. Look at verse 54 and 55. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Paul was writing to the Gentiles in Romans. And in Romans 11:28, he says, "Concerning the gospel, they," the Jews, "are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of" who? "Of the fathers." That covenant has not been broken that God made with the fathers. It's still active. He still loves Israel. They are still his people. And Mary has this revelation here. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And then she goes on to say, "As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And we go to Genesis 17 and verse 7. The Lord appears to Abram when he's 93 years old and he says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. I want to close with really the key to worship. See, Mary was not carrying an Old Testament with Psalms. Some of you have a New Testament in your, women particularly sometimes carry a New Testament in their purse and has the New Testament, has the Psalms. She wasn't carrying an Old Testament either. Because the word was in the synagogue and it was on scrolls. And so how is it that Mary, who is possibly 16 or 17 years old, makes these declarations about our Lord? Very well, she could have sat in the back, as was accustomed then, in the synagogue, and she could have heard these words. But to lay them all out in such a fashion here that describe the Lord as he is. You see, we can know, listen to me carefully, we can know certain wonderful things about the Lord, and I pray that we all do. But it's one thing to have a knowledge of, in your mind. I believe that as Christians in the American church, we have so much knowledge. We have so many books. We have so many translations of the Bible, and don't get me wrong, pursue that knowledge. But there is always the danger of it being up here and it's not resonating down here in our souls. We can know all the words. We can know many wonderful things about our Lord, who he is, what he's done, and what he does. But that's not the reason that true worship comes pouring out of us, brothers and sisters. And so I want us to look here at what has taken place prior to Mary's declaration here. I remind you again that Jesus said to the woman at the well that God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Look with me to verse 35, because here's the answer. Mary had asked the question, how can this be, in verse 34, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. You see, it's not without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings worship from the deepest part of your soul, brothers and sisters. It's that yieldedness to his Spirit that will cause worship to pour out of you, that will cause your soul to magnify the Lord and your spirit to tell of the great things that he's done, causing you to rejoice. I want you to look a little further down the page. Mary, at a certain point, decided to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. We don't know if she knew anything about what had transpired with Zacharias and Elizabeth at this point. But it says, Mary arose in those days, in verse 39, went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Listen to this. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. This was not a feeling that Elizabeth had here, folks. The Holy Spirit came upon her. Not only that, you remember, Zechariah said, was told by the angel Gabriel that this babe that would be formed in the womb, he would have the Holy Spirit even in the womb. John the Baptist. And so when Mary shows up there on the doorstep with Elizabeth, John the Baptist, sensing the presence of the Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary, leaps for joy in her womb. Can I say to you, I believe that this was the first joint worship service that we have recorded in the New Testament. And why? It was because the Holy Spirit was involved in the entire thing. It was involved in Mary's life. It was involved in Elizabeth's life. It was involved in John the Baptist's life. So here we have Mary, we have Elizabeth, and we have John the Baptist, who was not even visible yet, having a worship time. See, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are in your life and mine. It doesn't matter how terrible things might be at the moment. You can still worship the Lord because it's His Holy Spirit deep in your soul that cannot be taken from you. Are you aware of that? Jesus said, "If you love me, the Father and I will come and we will make our home." He never leaves that home, by the way. We may ignore Him sometimes down there. You see, that's what worship is all about. It's not anything that we work up with our minds. It's not anything that because the song or the melody, and I love music. Let me warn you, it's very easy to get caught up in the music and not have that music emanating from your soul, the Holy Spirit upon you, causing you to worship Him as the Father desires to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth. That's my challenge for myself and for you as we are in this Christmas season. But it's not just about the Christmas season, folks. It's about every day of your life, from the moment of your salvation until we go to be with Him for all eternity. How many of you want to worship Him in spirit and in truth? We have every reason to worship Him. Mary has made it very clean. He's the mighty one. He has done great things for us. He scattered the proud in their imagination, so you don't have to worry about them. If they're not scattered yet. In fact, I kind of look at it right now, and I think politics does not belong in the church, but I think it's all kind of scattered right now, isn't it? Who's doing that? Well, it says He scatters the proud in their imaginations. I think it's the Lord. Do we have to worry about it? No. Let's be a people this Christmas season and on through the rest of our days on this planet, a people who worship Him. Not because we're trying to get worked up to do it, not because of a melody. Bow your heads. Maybe you need to take a moment right now with the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't really know what worship is all about." And see, we're not talking just about singing songs. We're talking about that soul deep within you that knows who God is and gives Him glory in every waking and sleeping moment of our lives, because He is who He says He is. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that we would be a people who worship You as You desire to be worshipped. And Lord, I thank You that it's a work of Your Spirit. Lord, Your Holy Spirit illuminated the Word for us. Your Holy Spirit brought us, as the Father called, and brought us to the Lord Jesus. And Your Holy Spirit made us know that Jesus was real. So, Lord, I pray that You would work this message deeply into our hearts. I pray that we could meditate on these scriptures, the ones that we read from Mary and those in the Old Testament, Lord, and that You would do a mighty work in my heart, in the heart of my brothers and sisters, that we might truly be a people. Lord, our purpose for being here on this earth. We know what it is. It's to worship you and to make you known. And we do that not only with words, but in deeds. Lord, make us a worshipful people, day in and day out, so that when we come here on a Sunday, Lord, that just comes out a great joy for what you have done and what you are doing in our lives. And most of all, for such a great salvation. And then looking forward to an eternity with you. To know that you are preparing a place even now that is beyond our wildest dreams and our greatest imagination, Lord, it is beyond. Lord, help us to live in the light of who you are. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.